But at large, you know, what we're talking about, body, soul, and spirit, and, you know, we need to understand how it works and how it flows in our lives so that we can actually apply it, we can see it make a difference. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we mentioned this last week, but we are a three-part being. And we have a body. We can see our physical body. If we go look in a mirror, we can see the reflection of our body. We have a soul, which consists of our thoughts, our will, our emotions, our conscience. Our soul can be touched anytime we watch a movie, like we watch Titanic or The Notebook or something like that. You can feel your emotions touched by the movie. Or Braveheart, you know, for the guys. They were to watch Braveheart, and by the end of it, you have this exhilaration in you. You're like, "Yeah, I want to have purpose in my life. I want to save a nation," you know, because it touched your emotions. But you also have your spirit. James chapter 2, verse 26 says, "For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." And so, what it's saying as it's the life-giving part of you is your spirit. So I'm going to draw this out. So there's going to be our spirit right here. This is going to be our soul. And this is going to be our body. Okay. And so this may seem elementary, but I promise it's going to lead us somewhere. There is a flow of life. The life-giving part of us is what? We're body, soul, and spirit. It says just as faith without works is dead, so the body without the spirit is dead. So just like the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So life doesn't come from the body. Life doesn't come from the soul. Life comes from this place in our spirit. And you know, when we get saved, we get born again, this is the part of us that gets transformed. There are three layers of us. You know, if you weigh 500 pounds before you got saved, you're going to weigh 500 pounds after you get saved. This is not what changed, right? Or if your soul, like if you don't know how to do math before you got saved, you're not going to know how to do math after you get saved. There's a couple of exceptions like Sapreza or something like that where God gives them a new language. But for the most part, people don't have these things transformed. There are supernatural things where people have had supernatural weight loss. Now you're wrong. That's the exception, not the rule. Our body and soul at large is not really where the transformation takes place. And when we get born again, it happens in our spirit. And so John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a religious leader. He sneaks out at night, comes to find Jesus, and he begins to ask him questions. In verse 3, Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can man be born when he is old? He cannot enter into a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" So Nicodemus is talking about bodily things because Jesus has given him a body parallel. Verse 5, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Speaking of water, of a natural birth, and the spirit, a spiritual birth. Verse 6, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." So when God speaks to us, when God changes us, he does it by the Spirit. When we preach the gospel, Romans 1:16, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation. The message of the gospel contains the power for salvation. The word of God comes and it touches our spirit. And you know, it's this is the way it flows in. You know, there's the inworking of God, but then there's the outworking of God. These are two different things. And if we don't understand that there's actually three different layers here, we can get super frustrated with our Christian life. We understand that this new life we have in God is a spiritual new life. And it has to work itself out through our soul, into our body, and out into our experience. And so let's say, like, if someone is sick in their body, they say, "Well, God, your word says that by your stripes I'm healed. I'm healed." And so there's a spiritual reality that by his stripes I am currently healed in the spirit. It is a current reality. It's not something that we have to believe for. It is truth. The process of
this life of the Spirit of God getting into our soul, that is really what we call growing in truth.
A lot of people have an understanding of what the Bible says, but have very little truth in their life. In other words, it's real in the Spirit, but it has not worked itself into our soul. And it hasn't worked itself into our experience. And so it can be a very frustrating Christian life whenever you see, by your stripes I'm healed, and you have no experience of it whatsoever. Or no experience of it in your soul. Or like God, your word says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplications, let our requests be made known to God, and the God of peace will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That peace, God, why don't I have peace when your word says I can have peace? It hasn't made it into the soul yet. And so understanding body, soul, and spirit is important because we need to know that God has worked himself in. There's a finished work of the cross. But then there's the next tier of letting the outworking of God, the outworking of the Holy Spirit. Look at 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers. This is interesting. It touches all three. Paul is saying, I pray, we're talking about a spiritual thing, that you may prosper in every way, 1, 2, 3, every way, and that your body may keep well as your soul prospers. So Paul is addressing the full body, the full man. I want you to be whole in your spirit, I want you to be whole in your soul, and I want you whole in your body. I'm praying that you will be blessed in every way. This is every way. It's body, soul, and spirit. It's touching all three. And so we can get real easily caught off guard whenever we don't have the experience yet in our body. It doesn't change the truth of what's in the spirit. Amen. It just has to work out into our soul. And then it works out into our body. And then we get into a realm of abundance where we go out and we pray for people that it is truth in my spirit, it is truth in my soul, it is true in my body, and now it's outflowing and touching other people.
Amen.
And now the truth that is in me becomes a reality for them. And the outworking of the Holy Spirit in my life becomes the inworking of the Holy Spirit in someone else's life.
Ooh.
And it touches them. It touches them. The Holy Spirit touched that lady. You know, it's funny to watch her because, you know, you can tell when people put on. Like, I've been praying for people for a long time, and I know when I lay hands on the sick and they're putting on. Like, yeah, I'm feeling good. Yeah, I feel better. Like, no, I need you to tell me the truth so I know, like, are we growing in this? Are we seeing real results? We need to see measurable results.
Right.
That's why I ask them, what's the level of pain? Is it a 10, a 9, an 8? Is it a 7? I mean, don't tell me it's a 0 if it's, like, a 9. Like, we need measurable results. You can tell when people are putting on. This lady is sitting here looking at her thumb 10 minutes afterwards, still shaking, just looking at her thumb because I know what was happening in her thumb. I know the pain that she has because I provide a joint that replaces that. I know exactly what was going on in her thumb, and I know what she needed, but God had something better.
Amen.
And so now I can watch that the outworking of God in our life became the inworking of God and someone else's. So the Christian life revolves around this flow. And we all need to understand that flow, that there is the inflow of God and the outflow of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 6, verse 63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. He is the life giver. What is it? The Spirit who gives life. He is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit, whatever. There is no profit in it. The words, truths that I have been speaking to you are spirit and are life. So God's words speak to us. That happens here in the spiritual, in the spirit realm. It happens here in this place called spirit. He says, my words are spirit and are life. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says, But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by the act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So men had an encounter with God, they're moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke. The inflow of the life of God, the outflow of the Holy Spirit. So it's a powerful thing to speak the Word of God. It's really up to us to make sure that there's not a valve in our soul that is turning off the flow of God. That we don't want to turn that off. We want to keep it flowing. And so it's a powerful thing to speak the word. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6 says, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. The communication, what you say about your faith, may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing. That means what you believe in God becomes effectual by your communication, meaning speaking the word. By speaking what? Acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. I acknowledge that by His stripes I am healed. Despite my condition, despite what I see in my body, it may not have worked itself out in my body yet. It may not be worked out yet in my soul, but I know what the truth is. And the Bible says in Philemon 1:6 that this truth becomes effectual by my communication of it. I acknowledge that in my spirit, by His stripes I'm healed. I'm delivered from every form of addiction. I'm set free from every bondage of the enemy. The work of the cross is finished in my spirit. I don't need to pray for it because I already have this victory on the inside of my spirit. Now, God, I pray for the outworking into my soul. God, that I will experience the freedom that I know that I have in my spirit. So this is really about identity. This is a pillar part of stepping into Christian maturity, because you will learn to, instead of going for 20 deliverance sessions a year, you know, you can take yourself through deliverance. You can say, hey, I'm battling something in my soul and I don't like it.
Yeah.
And so that's not what's happening in my spirit. And so we learn a process of dethroning our emotions, because we can't live life based on emotions. I feel like doing this and I feel like doing that. If you want to trash your life in a hurry, just follow your emotions. Let your emotions be your decision maker. And you'll trash your life in a hurry. I mean, you'll ruin the most important relationships in your life. You'll leave the most important people in your life because you feel like it. Well, our culture, we idolize happiness. We think, well, it's God's will for me to be happy. You know, I don't want to stay married to this person because I'm not happy. And I will leave this person because I want to have happiness. I'm not happy here anymore. I want to quit this job because I'm not happy. And God's goal for my life is happiness. I have the right to pursue, what is it, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what the American way is like. We can revolve around making, idolizing an emotional feel, an emotional high. You know, every Sunday when we go out to McGoffin, we are serving people who are set on being happy. Seeking an emotion, seeking a rush, seeking an experience. Mm-hmm. And it's become such an idol in their life that now it doesn't matter anybody that gets in the way. I'm going to have this.
Yeah.
Have you ever taken care of, if you've ever like taken in an addict, we've taken in an addict into our home. They can be some of the most manipulative, cunning, sly people you've ever met on the planet, because they've got one thing on the mind. Doesn't matter what you see, doesn't matter what you say, they're all going for this one thing. It's an idol. Doesn't matter who they run over, doesn't matter what they take, because they're going there. It's idolizing an emotion. You know, that's an extreme because we see it in the streets, but the truth is we do it in the church. You know, emotionalism can be an idol in the church, going to seek an experience. You know, seeking just the lights and fog machines. That's an experience. And I'm not against big churches, but I'm against emotionalism. Emotionalism can become a real problem, you know. And so when you preach the real gospel and people are used to emotionalism, they say that's not the same thing. Mm. And they can tell it's the difference. So, you know, the truth of God becomes effectual when you agree with it. And the way you agree with it is by speaking it out. And so let's just say this out loud. I'm not the way I feel in my body. I am not the way I feel in my body. I am not what I think in my emotions. I'm not what I think in my emotions. I am what the Word of God says I am. I am what the Word of God says I am. This is a very big deal because the life-giving part of God, it comes. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. So if you want to know how to feel this guy, it's by the Word. If you want to grow this spirit, the only way to grow in the outflow is to grow in the inflow. So we need to have ongoing inflow of the Word of God. Reading the Word. I'm telling you, reading the Word out loud is a powerful thing. And I know apps are good on your phone, but I'm telling you, get a paper Bible and read the Bible out loud. There is, I don't know what it is about it. I just know my experience.
Faith cometh by hearing.
And hearing
by
the Word of God.
That's right.
That's why it's good to speak.
Speaking it out. Reading the Word. Reading the book of John out loud. Reading the Psalms out loud. You know, I gave you that Bible checklist. Man, I'm flying through that thing. Check off a chapter here, a chapter there, a chapter here. And you know, reading the Word of God, it gets in you. And it becomes real and starts changing our life. So Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word, obey the message, and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it, and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror. For he thoughtfully observes himself and then goes off and promptly forgets what he was like. Verse 25, but he who looks carefully into the faultless law of liberty and is faithful to it and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience. Okay, so it's a mouthful, but what it's doing is it's likening the Word of God to a mirror. So if this is our Word, and this is us, it's saying this is us looking at the Word of God here. It says it's likening the Word of God to a mirror. So how many of y'all looked in a mirror this morning? At some point. Hopefully. Okay, so when we get dressed, you know, we put on clothes, we put on shorts, put on flip flops in my case today. You know, we put on whatever we're gonna wear.
You hope.
Yeah. And then we go to the mirror. Why do we go to the mirror?
Check ourselves out.
Because we don't trust what we've done. We actually have to go to the mirror to confirm what we've done. You know? Or what about when we fix our hair? You gotta make your spikes just right.
Yeah, they gotta be
It's gotta be right, Robert.
You can't have a mirror for that. I can just.
Yeah, Jesse just got it under control. Okay, so the but the mirror actually goes and it confirms what we've done. And you know, honestly, you know, I woke up and I had to shave today because my facial hair just grows, you know, and if I leave it alone, I've got this like Wolverine growing on my face, and I've got like I have to take care of this thing, right? And so I go to the mirror and shave. You know, I've never seen my face before. I've seen a reflection of my face, but I can't physically see my face. Truth is, none of us can see our face, so we go to a mirror to go see what we look like. And the mirror confirms the reality of what our body looks like. So what this scripture is saying, it's likening the Word of God as a mirror. It says, when you go and you behold the Word of God and you do what it says, it's like looking into a mirror. The Word of God tells you what you look like. It tells you what your spirit looks like. If you don't know who you are in Christ, you can actually go look in the mirror. And it will tell you who you are. You may think, well, I feel like I'm healed. Well, I feel like I'm sick. But let me go look in the mirror. Let's see what the mirror says. You know, like if I was getting ready in the morning and I think I've fixed everything up right, I'm going, let me go just be sure. I thought, oh no, I missed a spot. And that mirror becomes an authority in my life that I respect and that I honor. I realize, wow, I really trust the reflection of this mirror way more than how I feel.
Oh no.
And so I'm going to shave.
Amen.
Likewise, the Word of God is the same way. That when we behold in it, we do not rely on how we feel, but we look into the mirror to tell us
wow.
how we feel.
Amen.
And so it becomes a normal thing, a normal way of learning of what we look like in the Spirit. When we say, God, my soul doesn't think that way and my body doesn't feel that way, well, it doesn't change the truth of what Jesus said, my words are spirit and are life. It doesn't change. And so it has to begin to outflow and begin to move on the outside. So this is how we, on a practical level, manage our spirit life. This is on a practical level of how we mature on a day-to-day basis. We take in the word so that it can work out of us. It's the perfect reflection of what you look like in the spirit. So since you can't see your spirit, you have to look to the word and see what you look like. And we have to learn to trust what we see. Trust in what we see. It should be just as easy as trusting the mirror that we look at in the morning. We just trust it. The we won't grow in our walk in maturity if we just don't simply believe the word and trust it. On a normal basis, just whatever it says, goes. And that's it. It becomes a mirror. And so this is how we grow with it. Mark 11:22, it says, "And Jesus said to them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." It has to be something that we speak and we talk about. John 4:14 says that the water that he gives us, it becomes in us a fountain of living water springing up into everlasting life. That means there's supposed to be an outlet. There's supposed to be a spout where God's word comes out. There should be a flow of God. He is a river. It's his nature to stay flowing. And when we turn off this soul thing, we stop the flow. And that's a problem. You know, if you could imagine this soul area, what soul? It was that thought, will, emotion, conscience. You know, if you could imagine a valve, you know, that you turned like a water valve.
Yeah.
That's really what your soul is. You can choose through your soul to open the valve and let what's in the spirit flow into your body, or you can choose to close the valve off. It's the way it works. If the spirit of what the word says doesn't make it through your thoughts, it doesn't make it through your will, it doesn't make it through your emotions. I'll tell you, most of us, that's where the battle is it hits our emotions.
Yep.
And we're not willing to lay down our emotion for what God says, because we've been trained to love those emotions. We like to feel good. You know, in the 60s was the sexual revolution. Everybody slept with everybody. I don't know if y'all saw that post I put from Billy Graham, where he was being interviewed by Woody Allen. And someone in the car, they asked the audience, "Hey, does anyone have any questions?" And someone asked Billy Graham, "Hey, we hear that that you believe that you should abstain from marital relations until you get married. You should abstain from sex until you get married. Is that true?" I thought, what a question from the audience. Like, they were just so like, I can't believe this person believes this way. Like, they were just, it was the swing of the media in the day. That was the swing of the culture. Everyone was sleeping with everyone because it felt good. They were following their emotions. But, you know, it leads to STDs. It's drastically unhealthy. But it also is super destructive for your soul. Like, you get tied up with people. You get soul ties. That's what that's called. Your soul gets tied up to other people because it's supposed to happen in marriage. So when it happens outside of marriage, you get connected to people in ways that you're not able to handle. You know, it's a dynamite that you put in a vault, and it's supposed to pop in this vault of marriage, and no one knows. You know, you can tell, like, when you have two unmarried people who are together and they have a sexual relationship, everybody in the room knows it without them saying a word. Because it's not covered by a covenant. It's a spiritual thing.
Yep.
You don't even have to ask. You say, watch out for you too. You meet up later. You don't have to, right? No one has to say a word because there's no covenant covering that.
Yep.
But married people, you would never even know that they have sex. It's like, they have sex? Like, it's not, it's covered by a covenant. The soul is covered. There's a flow that, so the emotion, sometimes we've gotten so idolatrous in our emotions that we don't get to, we never, it never makes it to our body because we keep the valve shut off. Mm. So what's it look like to open the valve? It says, God, I'm going to think what you think. I want my will to be your will. I want my emotions to be what your emotions, what you tell me my emotions need to be. A lot of times we let our emotions talk to us, but the truth is you should be talking to your emotions. Because your emotions, they're aggressive. They like to be in charge, man. They like to run the show.
Emotions leads to the pride of life.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild. Look at John chapter 4. It's talking about walking in the truth. Remember, truth is what happens when what's in your spirit gets into your soul and your body. That's walking in truth. Mm-hmm. And so when we say, hey, does someone have truth in their life? What we're really saying is what's in their spirit outflowing into their body and in their spirit. A lot of people have it in their spirit, but they have very little truth operating. So we're talking about truth here. So walking in truth, the outflow. John chapter 4, verse 22. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We worship by what He's done for us, and we worship in the outflow of what He's done for us. You know, what's the difference? You can... This is, so I talked with the kids on Wednesday. You know, we all did push-ups the other night because they were all sitting down during worship. And so we went to the kids' church and we opened with push-ups because everyone was sitting down. So what am I doing? I'm not being hard. I mean, a little bit hard. But I mean, but I'm helping them get what's in their spirit into their body. Because you can worship like this. Close your eyes. Amen, Lord. You know, or you can worship like this. What is it? It's the outflow of the Spirit of God. It's not about putting on. It's not about just doing something in the natural. It's what He did for me in my spirit has become my reality in my soul. And now it's become my reality in my body. And now I worship the Lord. It says, an hour is coming when true worshipers will worship by what they've got, what they know is true in their spirit, and it's going to manifest in their body. People, it's speaking of a time when people are consumed by the Spirit of God, that what He's done in the spirit has become bigger and bigger and bigger on the inside of them. If this happens with promises, Philippians 4:18, y'all know this is in my spirit because I keep repeating it. It says, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Verse 19, and my God will supply every need of yours to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That is a spiritual truth that is in the spirit, but has to become part of our soul. What's it look like when truth gets into your soul? It becomes part of the way you talk.
Amen.
And this is really a big deal, that it changes the way we talk in our life. You know, that I don't lack. I do not lack. I don't lack. I am supplied by the riches of the kingdom of heaven in Christ Jesus. I am abundantly supplied. Hey, let's just say it together. I am abundantly supplied.
I am abundantly supplied.
That is a truth of the Word of God. It's moving. You can even feel like when your emotions don't want to say that, you're the ones going, I'm abundantly supplied. You know what you said? You know, because your emotions aren't on board yet. But there comes a time, y'all, when you see the abundant supply of God and your emotions get on board. And you become excited that, man, I have abundantly supplied.
Amen.
With everything that God needs, that everything that I need in Christ. According to His riches, and your emotions get on board. And when your emotions get on board, you know what it makes? It makes you bold.
Yes.
It makes you proud of what God has done for you. Not in a negative sense, but you get to know who you are. It's when truth gets in you. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. David is saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That is a command coming from his spirit to his soul. He is calling to his mind, speaking, saying, emotions, get it together. Emotions, bless the Lord. Will, bless the Lord. Thoughts, bless the Lord. All that is within me. So all that is within the body would be the soul and spirit. He said, bless the Lord. Oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget none of his benefits. What's he saying? He's speaking to his soul. He's saying, hey, remember what God has done for you. This is the guy who becomes a king, doesn't go out to battle, lusts after Bathsheba, kills her husband, and takes her as a wife. This is a man who has failed horribly in a moral way. But he has come to such a place of redemption. He has come to such a place of forgiveness that he says, bless the Lord, oh my soul. This is the same guy who failed horribly. He said, I bless the Lord. That means we can take our life experience and we can reverse the condition of our soul.
Yes.
Amen.
And so if our soul is going down the crapper thinking of watching CNN and Fox News and Facebook scrolling, you know, just that flicking motion of Facebook videos, and you just watch junk, you know, it sends your soul downwards.
Yeah.
Man, I was studying for a while, and then I stopped. I watched Facebook for a while, and just kind of looking at videos and whatever's there, and I was probably about like 30 minutes into it, and afterwards I just felt so, thought, man, that's the counsel of the world.
Go on.
So we got to get our emotions out of the driver's seat. Our emotions aren't in charge. We have to speak to our soul.
Amen.
And tell our soul how to feel. That process, David saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. This is taking dominion over your emotions. This saying, you're not in charge anymore. And we need to do that. We don't need to be an emotional people. I'm going to do this, so I'm going to do that. Well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. That's not the Christian life. That's not the life of a believer. That's not the life of someone who has Christ on the inside of them. You're tossed back and forth. Just emotional people. That's not God's call for us. Well, I'm sad because of this, or I'm sad because of that. No. At what world do we make this in charge? It's just the world. It's the carnal. It's called carnality. It's living like people who don't have Christ live. But most of the church doesn't understand this, and so they just live like the world. And it makes a bad reflection on believers, and the world says, you're not salty, you're not even essential anymore, because you look just like us. Your divorce rate is just like us. You're not happy with your marriage, you just get divorced, and you know, you're worse than we are. There's no difference. Driven by our soul. So walking in truth. So let's talk about how do we practically walk in truth on a daily basis. I'm going to give you three phrases. And they're a little cliche, but it's okay. Number one of walking in truth. What does the word say? Maybe it sounds too simple, but it works. What does the word say? When you encounter negative emotions, when you encounter negative things in your body, these things, you have to ask yourself, what does the word say? What you're really saying is, Jesus said, my words are spirit and are life. The life-giving part is in the spirit. What does the word say? You're saying, I'm going back to life. I want to be ruled by the life of God. So when I feel in my body like I'm about to die, because, you know, you got a headache or something. He said, no, what does the word say? Well, the word says that he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of my well-being was upon him. And by his stripes, I was healed. Okay. Number two, what does my soul say? It's not to ask your soul advice, but to get what the word says into your soul. Which means we need to speak it out. What does the word say? The word says, I'm healed. That's what your soul says. Don't take advice from your soul. Make your soul take advice from your spirit. Mm-hmm. And how does my body praise? That means we have to actually physically start giving thanks for what God has done. Giving thanks before you have it. I was with Pastor Lino in Juarez, and you know, those Juarez pastors, they don't have a ton of resources. If missionaries come, you know, they come and help fund works or whatever, what have you. But at large, you know, if you're collecting 800 pesos a week for your 200-member congregation, you know, it's $40. That's not a lot for a team of pastors to live on. You know, it's kind of difficult to do that. And I watched Pastor Lino. I got this whole new respect for him. He built a screen on his back wall because he wanted to have words for his church. He's got a very good-sized church. But he didn't have, like, a projector, which the most expensive thing is, the projector. He built the screen, and he built the place where the projector would go without ever having the projector. You know what that is? That is really faith. So God's gonna provide me a projector. God's going to provide it. I'm going to build a screen. I'm going to build a place for the projector to go. I'm going to get ready because God's provision is coming. God, He will supply all my needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So there's an outflow that gets into your body where you begin to prepare for God to show up.
Amen.
Now, we do this in the natural. When a woman is expecting and a baby is coming, we go to the bedroom and we paint it pink and we decorate it all the way around. We get a new bed set. We get a crib ready because we are expecting God to show up. That is the life of faith.
Yes.
What does the Word say?
Amen.
What does my soul say? How does my body praise? Getting what's in you into your mouth and into your body. Get it where there's actionable return on what God has told you. And it began, I'm telling you, this access is something in the Spirit. This is the way to do it. When I was given the opportunity for this house, I was given a quote of what they wanted. And I thought, I don't have that. But I remember sitting in my car in the Northeast, and I was thinking, and he said, do you want it? And you don't have a lot of time to say, oh, let me go pray about it. Like when life is happening, you need to have an answer. And so you spend your life in prayer so that when the time comes, you can make decisions with the mind of Christ. And so they told me the quote and what they wanted. And you know, this is something I was interested in. I just closed my eyes and I was like, Lord, what do you say? The guy's on the phone. Lord, what do you say? And I said, tell him to put this much down. I said, I'm putting this, I said, I'll take it and I'll put this much down. I needed to say that because I needed to lock it in because
yeah.
It was a quick deal and we needed to get it now or
Amen.
it was going to be gone. You know, we didn't have any of that money at all of what I said, but I know what the Lord said because I pray.
Yes.
So that when life happened, I could say, God, what do you say? He says, do this. So I said, okay, I'm going to do this, put this amount down. Great. You know, and then you just trust God for the money to come in. And it did.
Amen.
I'm believing it's God's will, you know, for us to have that. It's not God's will for us to rent our whole life. God wants you to own. Talk to a Jew. Jews don't rent. You know, they've learned to trust God for provision. Like they're doing, it's in them because they say, hey, my God takes care of me. God's with me. You know? And so trust God for these things. Trust Him to advance you, to
yes,
take you to the
amen.
Next tier.
Yes.
And that's how we got a house. And we bought a house with no money.
You did it for me this year.
It just happened. And honestly, that's how we've done a lot of things in our life. You'd be amazed at what God will do for you if you'll create room for Him to operate.
Amen. Yes.
In Joshua chapter 6, there is a story about the people of Israel are walking around the city of Jericho. And they walk around it, and God gives them instructions to walk around this thing 7 times a day for 7 days. And on the 7th day, you let a shout. You've heard the story. And so for the first 6 days, everyone is silent. But they're walking around, and they're blowing their trumpets. They're walking around this thing, and they're just being obedient to what God said. And then on the 7th day, they walk around, and they give up a shout, and the wall came down. I think a lot of times what's keeping us from this are walls that we put up. And usually it's because we got disappointed somewhere in life. Yep. Someone disappointed us, and we put up a wall. But that wall you use to protect yourself with people is the same wall that functions with the Lord. When you say, you can't, when this person does no longer has access to me because I've been hurt or I've been betrayed, that same motion in stopping people puts it up here. It's the same motion. That's the only way I can explain it. When you turn it off with people, you turn it off with God. And Jesus said, whenever someone slaps you on the cheek, turn the other one. What he's saying is, stay vulnerable. He doesn't say that because he wants us to get beat up. He says it because he doesn't want us to turn it off. He doesn't want us to turn off the valve. And the people went around Jericho and they gave up a shout and the wall came down. And I really believe that it is in this process of learning how to praise the Lord, of learning how to worship God, that we begin to break through these walls. We bust down that wall that gets that to our spirit. The most natural thing for you to do when the Word of God becomes a reality, when the Word of God goes from spiritual truth to it's a real truth operating in my life, the most natural thing for you to do is praise the Lord.
Amen.
And we step into worship. That's when worship becomes real. And I mean, I listened to Audrey across the room. She's belting out worshiping to the Lord because there's no walls up. But that's our example to follow.
Yes.
I don't know you guys, but I want to step into this on a greater level. I feel like I worship the Lord, but I haven't fully stepped into something yet. There's something more. I want a release of the Spirit
yes,
of God.
Yes, amen.
A release of the Spirit of God into my soul, where it's all I think about. I want to be consumed. That when we say, I want to be consumed, this is what we're talking about. I want it to be in my soul. I want it to be in my body. I want it to be in others. This is the flow of the Christian life. It is spirit, soul, and body. It's the way he moves. Luke chapter 6 verse 45 says it's of the overflow of the heart, that's where our spirit is, that the mouth speaks. So the way to get this out is to keep filling. Fill by Jesse. Love you, man. All right. But it is the outflow of the Holy Spirit. So let's take a couple minutes and let's pray.